morning. We're good? Good to be here. Good to see y'all. Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you because you are so, so good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you allow us to talk to you. And even more incredible is that when we open this book, you speak to us. That's amazing. So God, I pray that we would hear your voice in what we read today. I pray, God, that you would help me to explain well. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts so that we would be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of Matthew, and right now we're at a place where, well, if you ever asked yourself the question, how do I know if I'm moving forward with God or if I'm kind of in the same place? I mean, it kind of all feels normal week after week. I go to church and I read my Bible or I don't, and I know I should do some things better, but I do things better than I used to do. How do I know if I'm moving forward? How do I know if I'm in the same place? How can I measure that? Well, Jesus describes the path. Jesus describes how that progression looks. And in his description, we can see kind of where we're at in any given moment. And more importantly, how we can move forward, how we can deepen our relationship with God. It's a series of teachings called the Beatitudes. Kind of a little mini-series in the middle of Matthew, beginning of Matthew. Go to Matthew 5, and starting in verse 3 and following, there's a series of phrases of almost proverb-like teachings that appear to be kind of just a random collection of things that Jesus said. They're not. They're actually a sequence of, here is what it looks like as the gospel works through you, as God touches you and draws you to himself. Here is this, and it's not just you start here and end here, but rather it's not just a sequence, but it's almost a circular thing where as you progress through them, then you start over, because there's different layers of progress in each one of the things that Jesus describes, but one leads to the other, as we've seen so far. So what we've seen so far is Jesus taught us that happy are those who recognize their wickedness. And all of the phrases, all of the teachings start with the word blessed or happy or fortunate. Blessed is the one, happy is the one who sees inside and sees they are poor of spirit, sees that they don't have what they should have on the inside. In fact, they have a lot of what they shouldn't have on the inside. And isn't that true of all of us? And if you say, okay, if that's how they're all going to be, then that's not going to make sense, because happy is the person who looks inside and sees his badness. That doesn't sound like a happy person. And in fact, each one of these teachings is counterintuitive. It's an unexpected contrast. Jesus says, happy is this person. And what he describes is not at first glance someone who's happy, who's blessed, who's fortunate. It would be the opposite. But then he describes how that person actually is in a very counterintuitive way in his kingdom, extremely happy and extremely blessed. So happy are those who recognize their wickedness. Happy are those who mourn for their wickedness. When we look inside and we see how broken we are, that breaks us, that makes us mourn, and we weep because of how broken we are. And then last week we saw happy are those who stop being their own boss. Happy are those who, that's not Jesus' words, these are my paraphrase of them, but happy are the humble, happy are the meek, happy are those who are the opposite of prideful, who see their wickedness, mourn for their wickedness, and then decide to step off the throne of their life and let God be the sovereign over them. And the one we're going to look at today in verse 6 raises up a question. What do you want? What do you really desire? What deep down inside of you, what do you really, really want? I mean, it's Sunday morning, so we're supposed to say, well, I want to be different, and I want to be close to God. But what do you really want? What do I really want? Normally, what I really, really want, what I really desire, what I run after in life is not necessarily God, and it's not necessarily being different. Normally what I want, and probably what you want, is we want to be happy. We want happiness. We want to be loved. We want to be fulfilled. We want purpose in our lives. We want to feel secure. We want happiness and security and purpose and love. That's what we want. And so where do we look for that? What do we desire? What do we really want in life? We want whatever will make us happy. We want whatever will make us be comfortable and secure. We want whatever will make us be fulfilled. And so sometimes we look for that in people. I look to my spouse or my children or my family, my friends, to make me feel loved, to give me purpose in life. What's my purpose? Well, I'm raising my two boys. That's a purpose. What's my true purpose? What makes me feel satisfaction in life? Sometimes it's things. It's that perpetual pursuit. If I need something else, I need to buy something else. I need to buy something else. Or I guard and treasure and love what I already have. Or it's my money. It's accumulating and then making sure I don't lose money, things. It's sometimes we look for happiness and purpose and satisfaction in activities, in what we do. I can't wait till this is over because it's a beautiful day. I'm going to go out to the lake. I have nothing wrong with going out to the lake. And I'm going to do whatever I do at the lake that makes me happy, whether it's fishing or barbecuing or all good things, right? But we live for certain activities sometimes because that is what truly makes us happy. That's when I have peace. I can put up with work all week if I can just get to that moment on the weekend when, and then you fill in the blank, whether it's sports or entertainment or whatever it is. Sometimes we look to ourselves for our happiness. What do I really desire? What I really want, myself. I look for my happiness inside of me, outside of me. That's why health and fitness are such huge industries, because they help us find our happiness in us, in ourselves. And that's why education is so big. Education is good. But sometimes we look to ourselves, whether it's on the outside or on the inside, for our true purpose, for our happiness. And we desire whatever we think will make us happy. So what makes you happy? What do you look for in life to make you happy? That's what we want. And then what do we want from God? What do we want from God? We want from God, well, I want God really to tell me that I'm pretty much okay the way I am. I would like God to tell me that I'm pretty good the way I am, and maybe a few little rough edges need to be filed off, but he's pretty happy with me just about the way I am, and I want him to help me with and give me what I truly want. So whatever that thing is that today makes me feel like I'll be happy if I can just get this, if I can get to this part of my day, this is what gives me purpose in life. I want God to protect that and give me more of that and make that be what I want it to be in life. That's what I want from God. I want God to let me do what I really want. That's what I want from God. What do I want? I want what's going to make me happy, and I want God to help me with that. And we've talked about this before. We've seen it in other passages. This is a theme that runs through the entire Bible. We are never completely happy. We're never completely satisfied. We always want more. Even when you get to the pinnacle of your happiness, you say, if I could just have this, and if I could achieve this, and if I get to this point in life, if I could experience this, if this could happen, if I could accumulate this, if this would all work out with my family, if I could get this, whatever that is for you, and then have you ever gotten it? And then what do you feel like? Oh, I'm still not quite happy. I need what? I need more. I need something else. And then I need this. And we hide it as adults, but I see this with kids. It's just like they need something. They have to have something. This Lego set, I'm going to get this. And as soon as I get it, I'm going to be happy. And as soon as it's purchased, they're not even out of the store before what? They see something else that they have to have. And then I know the next month, this is what we're going to be talking about. That's how we are too. We live for things. We get those things, and they don't truly make us happy. What is it, if you were being honest, Ben, this is kind of embarrassing, so don't say it and don't think it too loud, but what is it right now in your mind that you've just been pining after? And if I just had that or that person or this thing or that experience, my life would be so perfect, and you've been chasing after it, and then You realize, though, that once you get that, it's going to be something else. We're never completely happy. What we see today in the text is that we desire the wrong thing. We chase after and we want the wrong thing. Jesus says, if you desire this, which is not whatever this that he says, if we desire it, is not what we normally desire, that we will be happy. But that's not what we normally desire. We desire the wrong thing. In Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus tells us, happy are those who desire God. Happy are those who desire God. And the flip side of that, it would also be true. Unhappy, unsatisfied are those who don't desire God. When my deepest heart desire is God, I will be satisfied. That's what we're going to see today. But when that is not my deepest heart desire, when I live for finding my ultimate happiness in my experiences or in my entertainment or in my family or in my work, many of which are good things, but when I look for my ultimate happiness in those, I'm not going to find it. I'm not going to be satisfied. But when I look for my ultimate happiness in God, I will be satisfied. The words that, we'll read the verse, but just before we get there, the words that Jesus uses today are words of desire. They're words of need. They're words of being satisfied or not being satisfied. Look at Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. He's describing desiring being like and being with God. He's describing desiring being just, being righteous, like God. He's describing desiring being close to God. And again, here's where the counterintuitiveness of Jesus' teachings and these Beatitudes comes in, because you say, okay, if I really change what I desire, I know that if I desire this, whatever you desire right now, whatever you most desire, whatever would make your life perfect, or your life is perfect, and you say, if I could just keep that going, then we say, okay, I know how that will feel when I get it. I know the feeling I'll have inside when FedEx rings my doorbell and it finally has arrived and I get to open it. I know that feeling. I know the feeling of being needed and loved by my family or that special person or whatever. I know that feeling. I know what that's like. And if I desire what Jesus is saying I should desire, that means I will desire less of this and more of that. So I desire less of this, more of that. I know how happy this will make me feel, even though logically we know we've blown that up in our minds to bigger than it is, but still, I know that how that will make me feel. If I desire less of that and more of whatever Jesus says I should desire, I'm going to ultimately be less happy. That's the math that goes on in my mind. But that's counterintuitive, and Jesus is going to tell us, no, that's actually the opposite of what happens. The more you desire this, whatever it is you look to in this life to make you happy and satisfied and fulfilled and loved and secure, that will make you less happy. The more that you desire this, that will make you happier. So let's start out with how he says we're supposed to feel. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst. He's using words that describe profound desire. You read that and he's not talking about casual wanting. He's talking about deep longing. You know when you eat pizza right before you go to bed? Horrible habit, right? You don't do that. But you know how when you eat pizza right or something salty right before you go to bed and then you wake up at about 4 in the morning and you're just dying of thirst and you're so thirsty that you have to get out of bed. Did this ever happen to anybody else? Okay. And you're wide awake because you're thirsty and you want to sleep, but you go to the kitchen and you get you make it really, really cold water and it tastes almost sweet. And normally water doesn't taste sweet, but in that moment you're so thirsty it tastes sweet. And hunger, that deep, deep desire. The same deep desire you had for pizza the night before that made you thirsty, right? That he's talking about deep longing. And he's using the thing that we know what it feels like to be really hungry. Maybe you had breakfast really early this morning And right now you're thinking, I know that feeling. I feel that feeling. Let's wrap this up because I'm longing. Okay, he's saying that deep feeling, that deep hunger, that deep desire, that's how we should desire what? What should we desire? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For righteousness. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? It's being just. It's being perfect. It's not having any guilt or imperfection. It's being completely perfect in God's eyes. He says we should desire that. What does that mean to desire righteousness, to desire perfection? Well, let's unravel that thread. God is the just one. God is the definition of what righteous is. He's the one who makes the rules. He's the one who says this is right and this is wrong. He is, in of himself, he is righteous. You and I do righteous things sometimes. We do things that are right. We know what things are. We have some righteousness in us, but God is righteousness. He is perfection. So if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, ultimately, I'm hungering and thirsting. I'm deeply desiring, well, a God. I'm deeply desiring knowing and being like God. I'm deeply desiring knowing God, being righteous in his eyes, him looking at me and saying, I'm happy with you. You're my child. You're forgiven. You're perfect in my eyes. That's what I'm desiring. I'm desiring to know God. Could you imagine, okay, what if that was really what I felt in my relationship with God, that I'm perfect in his sight, that he knows me and he loves me and I'm his child. I'm righteous. I'm perfect. I'm the way he wants me to be. Desiring righteousness is desiring to be like God. It's desiring to imitate him, because if he is righteous, if he is perfect, perfection, then desiring, hungering and thirsty for righteousness is wanting to be like him, wanting to imitate him. And in Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, we have a living example of the righteousness of God, the example that we can imitate and we can look to and say, okay, that's what I should be like. If I'm going to be the righteousness of God, if I'm going to be righteous, if I hunger and thirst to be like God, well, that's who I imitate. That's who I should be like. Could you think for a minute, what would it be like if you and I were constantly changing to be more and more like Jesus, not getting to a certain place where we're socially acceptable and at church everybody thinks we're doing pretty good, but if we were more and more like Jesus from the inside out and desiring righteousness, desiring God, is desiring to be close to God. It's not just wanting to be like him, it's wanting to be close to him, to be his friend, to be his child, to have a relationship with him where we could talk to him and we feel his presence, where his spirit fills us, where we are close to the righteous one. That's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's what we should desire, is what Jesus says. So how do we seek after God? How do we desire God? Well, we desire God by deciding to know him. And that's a decision we make. How do you desire God? Will you say, okay, I feel God pulling me towards him, and I want to be his child, so I will decide to give myself to him, to surrender myself to him, and he will forgive me and give me his spirit. So I will decide to make him my Lord and my Savior. I will repent and be baptized. I will make that decision. And when I do, God will fill me with his spirit. When you decide to know God, God puts his spirit in you. And the more that his spirit is in you and fills you, the more that you hunger and thirst for his righteousness, for being like him and for knowing him. We seek after God. We desire God when we hunger and thirst for him by imitating Jesus, by always looking inside and saying, okay, what is my sin of the day? What's that thing that's just, I've just been letting it go, but I know that's my next thing that I got to work on. And then it's fighting against that until it's something that you've overcome. It's battling the sin, that the thing in us that you would say, okay, there's a lot in me. Maybe I've been walking with God for a long time or for a while, and there's a lot in me that is more like God than it was before. But there's this thing, not like God at all. Not like God at all. This thing that I feel, that I think, that it's not the righteousness of God. And as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we want to be like God. We want to imitate His righteousness. We want His righteousness to be in us. Then it's saying, I'm going to battle that thing, and I'm going to make it be something that was part of my life, not that is part of my life. We hunger and thirst for righteousness by seeking to be close to God. We seek God by seeking to be close to Him. How do we do that? It's by reading His Word regularly. Regular Bible reading is not something that we do just because, well, okay, if I'm a Christian, then I have to read the Bible. That's one thing that I got to check off, and we're going to talk about it at church, so I have to have something I'm reading, maybe a Plan and You version. But we read the Bible because that's how we hear God talk to us. When we read the Bible, He speaks to us. It's living and powerful. And God speaks to us through the words that He inspired. We listen to Him, and then we talk with Him constantly. That's desiring righteousness, desiring to be close to the righteous one. It's speaking, it's having our life be a conversation with Him. From the time we get up in the morning and we kneel down by our bed and we formally talk to Him, and then as we go through the day and we read something, and then we spend the rest of the day thinking, mulling over that phrase that caught our attention when we were reading the Bible, and asking God, what do you want to tell me through that, and meditating, so He's talking to us because we're meditating on what we read in the Word, and we're speaking to Him in our minds, having this constant conversation with Him. We live close to God by regularly fasting, by not eating for a day, for part of a day, for a couple of days, by not eating on a regular basis and seeking, using the hunger pains to focus us on, I want to seek after God and be close to God, to let the intensity of our hunger for food fuel our seeking after and our desire for God. That's how we seek after God. And then look at the last little phrase in verse 6. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. I love that. The version I read growing up said filled, which that's good, but satisfied. They will be satisfied. Will be filled. Will be satisfied. Jesus is saying, you will get what you want from God. I don't hear that wrong. Start praying for a Ferrari. I don't know if they still make those. Or praying BMW, whatever. You will get what you desire from your relationship with God. If you want to be close to God, if you want to know God, if you want God to be someone not that you feel scared of and you go and you kind of try to, you know, pacify Him on Sundays, or if you want God to be the Lord of your life, who directs your every step, who you are close to, who you feel a deep, deep connection to, who you long to speak to when you're talking to other people because you have that connection with Him, you want to be talking with Him, if you want that, if you want to be close to God, if you want to be like God, if you want His righteousness to be in you, and if you want to reflect Him, and if you want to be close to the righteous one, that you'll get that. That will be satisfied. Isn't that, look over at James 4, verse 8. Isn't that what James is saying when he says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you? You'll get what you want in your relationship with God. If you want to be close to God, if that's what you truly want, how did we start today? The question was, what do you really want? And most of the time, I don't, in my flesh, I don't want to be close to God. I don't desire God. That's not what I really, really want. I want what I know will make me happy right here, right now. But if I really, really want God and to be close to Him, if I desire God, I will be satisfied. I'll get that. If I desire something else, I won't be satisfied. I won't get that deep relationship with God. What do you want? Flip over to Psalm 16, verse 4. This says the opposite of what James says. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. The sorrows. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. You will get what you want from your relationship with God. And if what you and I truly desire is not to be close to God and not to know God and not to have His presence in our lives and to imitate Him with our lives, then we will end up running after other gods. All of the things at the beginning that we said, okay, those are the things that we look to for our ultimate happiness. They become our idols. And our sorrows multiply when we desire those as opposed to desiring God. Why? Because God satisfies. Being close to God satisfies like nothing else ever satisfies. If you're in Psalm 16, look down at verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God satisfies us in a way nothing else will. In Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be satisfied with your likeness. Verse after verse, show us and tell us God can and does satisfy, but we have to desire Him because we get what we want from and in our relationship with God. God makes us, hey, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. That's true because God satisfies us. It's also true because we'll get His righteousness. We become His righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. When I desire the righteousness of God, the perfection of God, He gives that to me. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for our sake, He, God, made Him, Christ, to be sin, to be rebellion, who knew no sin. Jesus never rebelled. So that in Him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness or perfection of God. When I desire God's righteousness and I enter into a relationship with Christ, when I take Him as my Lord and Savior by repenting to be baptized, when I become God's child, I become God's righteousness. Now, when I hunger and thirst for righteousness and I give myself to God, He makes me His perfection. And it's not just making me His perfection on the inside, but on the outside, He continues to transform me through His Spirit. So when I follow after Jesus and I'm God's child and I hunger and thirst for righteousness and I'm not satisfied with where I am today, even if you look at me and I know that, okay, maybe you're not going to look at me and think poorly of me, but I'm not satisfied where I am today because I know me, I know my thoughts, I know my desires, I know who I am on the inside, and I say, that's not righteous, that's not God's perfection. Thank God that He sees me as His perfection in Christ, like we just read, but I know on the inside, that's not who I am. When I'm not satisfied with that, when I hunger and thirst to be more like Him, His Spirit transforms me step by step to be more like Him. I am satisfied because He satisfies my desire to become more like Him when that is what I truly want. Go to John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Guiding you into all truth. Look at Romans 8, 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, if you are putting to death, it's an ongoing thing, the deeds of the body, you will live. If you hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, through the Spirit you will put to death the unrighteousness in you, and you will live. So if blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst, deeply desire righteousness, deeply desire God, deeply desire to be like God and with God, then what should we do? I think we have to do two things. We have to ask ourselves, what do I really want? What do I really want in my relationship with God? Am I happy being someone who goes to church on Sunday, who lives a fairly decent public life where people look at me and say, that's a good person. Am I happy with that, or do I want to truly know God and be close to God and be becoming more and more like Jesus on the inside and know the presence of God and the communion of the Spirit? Is that what I want? What do I really want with God? Because whatever I want with God, that is what I will get in my relationship with Him. What do you want with God? And then when we say, I desire God, I not always, but in this moment, I see that, I want that, what do? We should run after God. We should seek God. We should give ourselves today and this week to seeking after God. We should seek after God even when we don't feel that desire for Him. Even when I desperately want other things, I should seek after God, because in seeking after Him, the desire for Him grows. I should ask Him. I was thinking about this week. It's like, okay, we're going to get to the end today, and I know my question, and maybe your question will be, okay, how do I seek after God when I don't desire God? How do I desire God when I don't desire God? That's the title of a book, a pretty good book. How do I desire God when I don't desire God? How do I do? And it just, when in my mind, what came to me, maybe the Spirit, maybe not, but I said, you ask Him. Make me want you. Make me desire you more than I desire all the things that I can touch and feel and experience. Make me want you. I want to want you. It's similar to when the disciples said, we believe, Lord, help our unbelief. And then we have to stop substituting other things for God. See, I know that I should desire God. And when I stop and think about it, like today, I say, I do. But I can fill my life with so many temporal things that replace my desire for God. I can completely fill my life with a search. I can buy this and do this and experience this and look forward to this. And there's so much stuff that I can do and experience that I can kind of mute the desire, like throwing, you know, like a big blanket over your loudspeaker. I can mute that desire for God because I'm fulfilling the desire with everything else. And sometimes we have to step away and say, I'm not going to substitute that deep desire. I'm going to let myself feel the hunger and the thirst for happiness that I can only find in God. You run after God if you're not a Christian yet by giving yourself to Him, by repenting and being baptized. And when you are a Christian, we run after God, and very practically, by reading the Bible and praying and fasting. So, what do you need to do to seek after God, to desire God more, to run after Him? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Why don't we stand, we'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, we come to You and we thank You because You are so good. And we recognize today that many times we desire, we want, we long for things that aren't You. Forgive us, God, for justifying the deep desires of our heart by saying, well, they're not bad things that I want. Help us to see, God, that it's the substituting of the desire for You with desiring anything else that is the sin. And help us be people, God, who fight and struggle and give themselves to wanting to desire You more than anything else. Being like You, being known by You, being close to You. And God, as we draw near to You, as we give ourselves to that this week, I pray, God, that You would fulfill Your promise that we would be satisfied, that we would be satisfied in You, that we would be satisfied, God, by becoming more like You, that You would give us what we truly desire when we truly desire You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.